Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome back my friend Terry to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence and building a mountain mindset. So just a quick introduction to Terry, and then we will dive into the conversation today. So Terry has survived 20 years of street level addiction. He's been in abstinence-based recovery for 11 and a half years, and he went from addict to academic. He's also been a lecturer of forensic science at UWE and then became an addiction recovery coach. And he's also addicted to climbing mountains. So, Terry, a massive journey that you've been on. And I know we've been through some personal growth together as well, like being to Tony Robbins. And I've heard a lot of your story, and it's amazing what you're doing now, how you're impacting other people, overcome some of their challenges. And obviously, I can see so much strength in you. And I know you're giving a ton of value to the world. So, you know, thank you so much for everything you're doing. Just first of all, be really useful to know a little bit about like your work, perhaps you're doing with mountains at the moment, and really how that can help someone with their mindset.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny, for the intro. It was nice, pleasant. I forgot kind of I said some of that stuff, and it was when it's kind of relayed back. It's like, oh bloody hell, yeah, I am doing these things. Building a mountain mindset. What am I doing with mountains? So that it really came about out of nothing, really. It wasn't something that was planned. I was just I'll go into it. So I had I lost my son. My son was 5 days old when he died in my arms, and it completely upturned my world. Yeah. Everything was upside down. The pain was unbearable. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I would get through it clean. I didn't know how to get through it. The grief was overwhelming. And I was very lost in that moment. And I thought, how can I navigate this? How do I navigate this? And one of the things that came out of that was I did a lot of fundraising in honor of my son. And through doing the fundraising, it helped me keep my son's name alive. So that 5 day period on this earth wasn't worthless. It meant something. It had an imprint on this planet. And then in doing so, as part of my nature, my addictive nature, it's what's the next fundraiser? It needs to be bigger, needs to be better. And so I started searching online for things like fundraisers you can do, endurance challenges, etc. And I see a little advert or a link to a social media page, I forget what it was, and it was about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. And I thought, I'll have a look at that and give it a go. I initially signed up, paid the deposit, and kind of committed to it before I went away and done the research. And then when I went and done all the research, that's when I realized that it is actually a mountain. I thought it was something that celebrities did. You know, they just turned up, walked up Kilimanjaro, raised a few quid. But when I done the research, I was quite shocked at what I was reading and the level of commitment, the level of fitness I would need, the equipment I would need to buy, the dedication, the discipline, and everything that goes with that. And So that was the birth of this journey into kind of mountaineering, I guess is the word. So off I set to do some training. But I guess the problem is in the UK, we only have mountains of a certain size. So we can only practice and train so much, but we're not going to reach those levels of elevation where we're going into the higher altitude, where you can get affected by altitude sickness. So I could prepare myself to a certain degree, but when the actual time come to climb the mountain, then it would be a completely different challenge altogether. So I committed to that, And I think it was held back and postponed due to lockdown. But as we kind of came out of that, I think I've done it about 2 years ago now. And yeah, it was a fantastic experience, but it was challenging, as I was aware of. I knew would happen, but there was other elements to it which I wasn't prepared for, and I really kind of had to dig deep. And I think I don't know if like any of your listeners have ever climbed mountains before, but you really have to kind of have a certain mindset to kind of summit and get back down safely. You know, it's not you. I could have been as fit as I wanted to, but at a certain point, when the negativity kicks in, it's very easy to kind of decommit to something you've committed to, give up and turn back. But yeah, and I guess my struggles came on summit night. So when you climb a mountain like Kilimanjaro, you do it in about 5 days. Okay, I think that's what we did. We done the Mashame route. It's 5 days. So you're walking up for 5 days, and the days consist of waking up, having your breakfast, walking all day, getting to the next camp, eating, resting, sleeping, and carrying on again. But then when it comes to summit night, that changes slightly, and it was a case of you leave about midnight. So you hardly sleep. So I've got lack of sleep. Yep. So I'm starting off midnight, lack of sleep, restless, irritable, that type of stuff. And then you set off, and so it's minus whatever it was, -8, -12, got all your layers on, you're walking in the dark. And the idea is you need to reach the summit, and then they try to get there for sunrise. And then after that, you need to come off. So you don't just go back down to your base camp where you started from on summit night. You have to kind of walk off the mountain, so to speak. You have to walk quite a distance down so you get out of the high altitude. And up until that point, with all the training I've done, all the work I've done on myself, all my personal development, all the reading, the training of my mind, the discipline I've instilled in my life, everything, I thought I'm in a good position to do this. So I was re resting on my laurels quite a bit. And then when summit night came, I committed to it, and off we went. And then about halfway up the last stretch of the mountain, it just come to a point where I just felt completely exhausted with everything within me. I'd exhausted all my physical ability, my emotional strength, my mental strength, my spirituality had been zapped. And I was just at this point where I just thought, I can't go on. Just can't do any more. And I tried to quit in that moment. And I had this little conflict between me, thinking, you know, it shouldn't be like this. You should push on. But on the other side, it was like, but you've done so much. You've raised so much money already. You know, no one will mind. You've done really well. And in this conflict and the process of trying to give up, I said to the porters that were there helping us, you know, I'll finish for the I finished. I need to go back down. And for some reason, they didn't shift. They just stood there and looked at me. And I thought, well, that's bizarre, because when everyone else has quit, they've kind of sent the porter back down with them, and they've helped them out. They didn't shift. And so I'm sitting there really kind of struggling in my head with what to do. And the girl I was with, who was summiting with me, she turned around to me and she said, it needs to be you at the top of the summit that sprinkles your son's ashes. And in that moment, it really kind of hit my heart. I really felt it, like a physical stab in the heart, not just words. I felt it in my soul physically. And then at the same time that's happened, the porter that was with me, he said, Terry, Terry, look, look, look. and he turned me round to face off the mountain, and I could just see the sun rising, and I could see like the circumference of the of Africa, I guess. Yeah, just like that, with the sun rising. And it was in that moment that I felt a really deep connection with the universe, with life, with a higher power, something that was there that could support me, protect me, guide me, keep me safe, and help me through the difficult times. And then he turned me back around. He said, "Terry, can you commit to another 30 minutes?" And in my head, I thought, I'll commit to another 30 minutes. I'll walk up 30 minutes more. It just means I've got an extra 30 minutes to walk down. And in doing so, that 30 minutes turned into about 8 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a long walk. So I made it to the summit, and I managed to get there, sprinkle my son's ashes, and get back down off the mountain. But what it was I learned from that experience, and something that stuck with me from that point, and it was skills that I knew I already had, but I didn't know I had them at the time. So looking back in hindsight, I can see, oh yeah, I have these skills and I have access to them because I've used them previously in my life. But I forgot that I was able to tune into them at that particular time when I was under the most intense pressure I've been under for a while. And that was to accept the help of others. Yeah. But the help of others need to be of the right condition. Okay. So I need to accept help and be around the right type of people that can give me that help and provide the help that I need. And in this instance, it was just simply words. The right words were said that changed my mindset in that moment. Yeah, this is my mission. I set this up. It's in honor of my son. I must go forward. The second thing was connection. Connection to something external of me. You know, the sun coming up was just like the universe's way of waving a hand saying, you know, I've got you. And it's something that has steered me well in my recovery, is always searching outside of myself for external strength to get me through the most difficult challenges, through drug addiction, through losing a son. So it's help from others. It was connection to something external, a power greater than myself external. And it was commitment, being committed in the moment to move through on the path no matter what. And what I loved about this half hour thing was I only had to commit to 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes turned into 8 hours, as I said. Okay. And it's something that I've adopted now. And it's something we use in our family. You know, if someone's going through something, my wife is struggling with something, she recently done a theory test, she was struggling with it, I said, just commit to one more theory test practice, another 30 minutes, see what happens. My daughter's struggling with something at school, just commit to 30 more minutes when you're at school and see what happens. So out of that, I kind of ended up with a little trio of package of something that I can adopt and use today to help me through those difficult challenges and situations.
I love that story, Terry, and how you're like taking it forward and committing not to 8 hours, but committing to 30 minutes, which turned into the 8 hours. Did you then, when you did the first 30 minutes, was it a case of you committed to another 30 minutes, or was it just like you had forgotten by then and just kept going on anyway?
So, yeah, it just become 30 minutes.
Kept 30, okay.
Yeah, right, I'm going to make it to that point. That's got to be 30 minutes away. That'll do. And then I'll turn back. And then when I reach that point, I'll just get up to there. That's about half hour away. And then I'll quit. But in doing so, I'm constantly committing to something. It makes it harder and harder to commit. And the more commitment I give, and the longer that time frame is, the goal I'm trying to achieve is becoming more and more possible. So in that process, what's happened is my belief of the situation changed. So when I tried to give up, I didn't believe I could make the summit. And through those three things that happened to me, you know, accepting the help, relying on a source outside of myself to give me that inner strength that voice of come on, you can do this, and just committing, basically agreeing with the voice, come on then, I'll do that another 30 minutes. You know, my goal was achievable when it was achieved.
Amazing to go up the mountain. It sounds like, yeah, you're helping your family now with some of that mentality, as well as applying it to your own life. Just the like to hear a little bit more on the, because I know there's different, like, people have got like different ways they use things in terms of connecting to something external, or putting trust into something bigger than themselves. For you, what was like, could you tell us a little bit more about like connecting to something outside of you? Was it that you had faith that you were being guided, that something else was going to give you strength?
Yeah, great question. It's a great area for discussion. I feel it's very personal to each an individual person, that branches out on this journey of seeking. For me, I've learned this process through 12-step recovery. So as kind of mentioned at the beginning, for the listeners that don't know, you know, I was a full-blown drug addict for 20 years of my life, and I lost myself, completely lost myself. I had no connection to anything, no connection to self, no connection to others. I was a very lost and isolated individual. So when I come into recovery and walked into the 12-step program and I learned about this, it kind of gave me the tools to kind of seek in that area. What I've learned over the years, in order for me to have a connection with something external myself, I need to unblock myself and remove myself from the process. And what I mean by that is I can be very blocked with negative behavior patterns, with certain shortcomings. You know, if my mindset is very negative and the way I view everything is very negative, if I'm trying to act spiritual and live a kind and decent and loving life, but in theory, my shortcomings are saying that I'm angry, I'm selfish, I'm greedy, etc., then I find it very difficult to be connected in those moments. So what I find I have to do is unblocking myself, and that is done through the process of consistently examining who I am. And that's not a an analytical dissection of myself, like, oh, you're wrong there, you did that wrong, there you go again. It's not a self-attack. It's just an honest and open appraisal of self, like, oh, yeah, so you're doing very well in that area, but you see this area, you're still doing that behavior there. So is there any way we can address that? And by removing myself out of this situation, then I'm opened up and I'm allowed to, it allows me to let this, whatever it is, I find it very hard to explain it to other people, but it allows that essence, that strength, that energy to enter within. And it gives me a second strength, I guess.
That's beautiful. Yeah, just, we can get so caught up. Well, I know I personally can get very caught up in the mind and being very logical, and then, Even now, it's like sometimes like, ah, oh, that didn't go so right. What have I done wrong? And then it's sometimes just taking some time out for me, and it's just doing the deep breaths, connecting to the body, and then I find that kind of guidance, that way forward will come to me as I'm doing that, like, you know, launching a new podcast or whatever it is. But I'm glad you were able to connect with the sun in that way. So it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's something I've seen in yourself as well. You know, I think we both got that kind of logical thinking, and from that experience and time we spent in UPW together, after that you've been on your own personal journey, you know, with the somatic work, etc., and I can see you leaning very much into that area of discovering self, seeking, connecting, whatever it is that's working for you. And you can see the shifts in you. Well, at least I can from where I stand, you know. And I found it's always been something very important to me. When I'm not seeking that connection, I find things in life are more difficult than when I am seeking the connection.
Yeah, definitely. It's even as Tony, and thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think Tony says, even Tony quoted, to still quote Tony now and then. But it's like, if you get in your head, you're dead. It's quite an intense what he says, but yeah, definitely being all mind and not being able to go a bit deeper on yourself as or and with the world, because when I go deeper on myself, I can connect with other people a lot more. And it sounds like from your journey of, when you say about obviously challenge with your addiction in the past, that was something you struggled to do, connect with yourself and other people as well. So it's great that you've obviously hiked up a mountain and got to the top of it.
Yeah, well, I done one the beginning of this year, well, in March
Wow.
this year, in Mount Toubkal, and I had a similar process where I thought everything was okay, and then come summit night, it hit me again.
Wow.
But I had the experience to fall back on. Yeah, so the process of hope to faith to trust, I had that. I was in the trust area because I knew when the going got tough, I knew I had an inner reserve which I can reach for. So yeah, I'm booked in for another one in September.
Wow.
We're doing a smaller one in Bulgaria, Mount Masala, and then I'm looking to do another big one next September, which I'm aiming to turn into a fundraiser. I typically raise money for a charity that helps children, Cots for Tots, but this year or next year, when the fundraiser will be, I'm going to introduce addiction into that. I feel as though I want to raise money in the addiction field and the infant loss field as well. So I can be raising in two areas because I want to give back in those two areas because I feel they're specific areas of my life. Well, they are the greatest struggles I've ever been through, is addiction and losing a child. And I've come out the other side of both of them, not because I'm special or I've been selected by God or whatever. You can get through this, but others can't. I think it's simply because of the work I've done on myself and positioning myself to get through tough times. So
Certainly.
I'll be looking to do that next year.
Can certainly see the work you've been doing, Terry. So, yeah, I know you've got a lot more value you can share. You've got obviously these fundraisers coming out, you're climbing mountains. For the listener, if they want to find out more about you or they want to reach out to you, maybe it's about addiction, maybe it's about really overcoming a challenge, where can they find you?
So I have a little presence on social media, very, very minimal. It's not an area I'm great in. It's Terry underscore Divine. I think that's for Instagram, TikTok, Facebook page, Terry Divine. But I've just started up my addiction recovery coach business, so they can find that. The website will be going live soon. It's Divine Interventions Recovery Coaching, and it's a passion of mine, and it's where I'm focusing a lot of my energies at the moment. So I'm really seeking to have an impact and make a difference on people that have been through substance abuse, addiction of any type, and I've created this 8-week program to help people through that, longer programs if needed. It's all about that kind of interrupting the pattern, changing the program, so people can escape that kind of way of life. Also, what I have done, which is like niching down, and I've recently got a diagnosis with ADHD, and I really rejected it at first. I thought that can't be right. And then, once I kind of removed myself out of that and looked at it head on, I thought, oh yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I looked into it, and I've noticed there's a massive correlation between ADHD and addiction. So I've been working in that area as well. So I'm linked up with some coaches to do some addiction and ADHD work. So we'll see where that leads.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for everything you've shared, and we'll be sure to put your contact details for the listener to find out more if they're challenged with any of these issues as well, because I know you've got a ton of value and big things you're doing in the world. So thank you so much for coming on today, Terry.
Absolutely, no worries. Always a pleasure, Johnny. You're someone that I've looked up to and respected for a while because, as you know, a lot of people can say a lot of things, but they don't back it up with action. You've consistently backed up everything you've done with action, and you're getting the results from that. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to kind of have you in my corner, someone to go, like a go-to person if I need a bit of advice or a bit of direction. So, yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you saying that. So thank you, Terry. And that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.